we're ready to go racing at the British Grand Prix at Silverstone. Lights out, away we go. Max Verstappen getting off the line, but it's a good start by Norris. A very good start. Lando Norris leads. Piastri's trying to take second, but Max Verstappen around the outside. But it is Lando Norris who leads from Max Verstappen in second place. And Piastri now having to defend from Charles Leclerc as Hamilton goes very, very wide and loses a bunch of places.
Yeah, Hamilton's lost out. Russell's gained one place in the Mercedes as well on those softs. But what a start from Norris. Just got the drive. Verstappen's lost the lead. Did well to hold on to second, but Piastri is so close down to Brooklands.
Yeah, Piastri's actually having a little look around the outside, but Verstappen being a little cautious, he knows he's got a rapid car.
I mean, Piastri was just as quick off the line as Norris. He just had nowhere to go as he tries to make it work around the outside. Max isn't going to let that happen there.
He's not got grip, Max. He's struggling on the rear end. Was really sideways coming into Brooklands, and Piastri's coming again towards Cobb's Corner.
It's a risky place to try and go down the inside, as we know. Oh, Verstappen going onto the dust. I wondered if he would make a mistake. He held it well.
Both of them launch, but one of them is now launching at a much higher speed. And Norris, dream stuff for the Brit, leading at Silverstone. And Norris has got to be ready for this. Five laps into a 52, and he's got his mirrors full, and Max is closer this time.
That was a good exit too, wasn't it? Because both of them got a little bit of rear end movement. He didn't get any this time. He's got a really good run with the DRS. He's going to go for it down the inside into Brooklands, and Max Verstappen has taken the lead from Lando Norris. So Lando leading the early stages. He hasn't given up yet, but I think Max now has the pace. As he comes out of the left-hander, he was out of slipstream too, so he still had decent downforce. He's in a good place now. DRS is open. Really good opportunity to get past Fernando Alonso. Lewis Hamilton dives past, and he has gained a place. He is up to seventh position. Still a lot of work to be done here. He's going chasing after Carlos Sainz. This is a chance for George Russell. He's right in the DRS zone. Leclerc's going to go defensive to the inside. It's always a tricky one to go around the outside, but he is putting the attack on, and now he goes around the outside into Luffield. George Russell, beautiful move. He gets past Charles Leclerc. Perfectly done.
What a move. What a move, George. I imagine he's on the radio right now telling the team how great it was, but it was that one was pretty honest. As Leclerc tries to fight back now into Stowe, not going to happen there.
The Haas in trouble there. The Haas, that's Magnussen. Oh, and there's a fire off the back. Kevin Magnussen's car. It stopped yesterday in qualifying, and now it's stopped in the race.
So here's your safety car, and this is pit stop time for the top three, top four even.
Just passes away for him, and that's the end of the day for Kevin Magnussen. It's not a good day for Haas in general.
Soft tires for the Red Bull there. I think, yeah, just to use that, I don't know how else you can play this, but no, there's hards going on the McLaren.
Not that many laps to go. We're under full safety car. There's 18 to go. There might be 15 when we go racing. That's a big call there for McLaren. They're not going to warm up very well at the end of the safety car period.
Let's see what Hamilton does.
He's soft.
He's soft.
Yeah, so that's what we thought, a reverse of what Russell did.
It's racy, and I like it. Yeah. I really like that. And Ferrari getting ready now with Sainz as well, who's going to go on to a soft, I think.
Still a poor, not a great stop. 3.2. Better than Russell's, but Mercedes are not on it as well.
And he's ahead of Piastri. Wow. Hamilton is ahead of Oscar Piastri, so he's leapt up into a net top three. Hamilton is close to Norris. Perez is close to Sainz, and this is the hard tyres not firing up. Second place is Norris. Here they go, flashing through. Hamilton is right with him, and we're going to have a big braking zone after this corner.
Yeah, carry on.
You say the only benefit that Norris has right now is DRS still not enabled. First lap after the safety car. So it's all about getting a good exit right here out of turn four. But man, Hamilton is close.
He's got so much more grip.
Is there a chance? As you say, DRS not in play yet. Lando Norris going defensive immediately. Goes to the inside over the dust that has been put down for any oil that was put down. And he's trying to go around the outside, but Lando brakes late enough. Now, can he do what George Russell did? Go around the outside through Luffield corner. He can't quite do it. Lando Norris holds him off.
With every corner, Norris's chances improve on that hard tyre. It will fire up and it will find some grip, but still Lewis is here down towards Cobb. So we're going to see a move again.
Into Cobb's corner. He goes in a wider line. The tighter line for Lando is difficult, but actually he didn't lose much time by doing that. No doubt they will be thinking ahead to the DRS opening up on the next lap. That was a late break from Lewis Hamilton.
Oh, he's looking at the inside.
He's got a chance. Oh, he's got a chance. Lewis Hamilton alongside Lando Norris. Now they're going to be running side by side through the kink of Woodcut, and he's still got that inside line. Will he go for it? This is a brave place to try and overtake. We saw it go wrong between Hamilton and Verstappen a couple of years ago. He backs out, follows him through. You're on board with Sergio Perez, very much closer now to Carlos Sainz.
Look how close Sainz is to Alonso as well. Perez is really close. He's going to have a dive here towards Bale.
Down the inside, Sergio Perez has a look to try and get past Carlos. Carlos gives him space, and thankfully they don't touch, but he's now got it on the exit, and he's through.
Nicely done, Checo. And now the Williams of Alex Albon's going to try to capitalize on the Ferrari side by side into Stowe.
Wow, he's done it. Alex Albon gets past Carlos as well. Alex has gone up into eighth place.
Oh, yes, from Alex Albon. Really good commitment at the first corner. Now it's Leclerc around the outside of his teammate. Creeps over track limits, but will have the inside for turn four. And that one fire up the inside from Sergio Perez, but Sainz way offline, left him vulnerable. The Red Bull came through, the Williams came through. Now his teammate has come through as well. Sainz way out of line there.
Oh, this is another one he could lose from Pierre Gasly. Gasly goes around the outside, and Pierre Gasly on target for 10th position. Oh, look at that. Did they touch almost?
Sainz coming back up the inside, and Gasly into Cox's corner. Oh. That's brave, and that's good from Carlos Sainz. You can make it through if you're there on the way in, and he's committed enough. Gasly not defending the inside. Second and third in the championship, these two as well.
Perez trying to pick up that slipstream. Here we go. Sergio Perez down the inside, makes the move, up into sixth place, gets past Fernando Alonso. He had the straight line speed he needed. Max Verstappen comes out of the final corner. Max wins the British Grand Prix. It's the first time he's won it as the British Grand Prix. The second time he's won here at Silverstone. Lando Norris finishes in a brilliant second. Lewis Hamilton in third. Two British drivers will be celebrating on the podium. Piastri finishes in fourth. His best finish in Formula One. Fifth place for Russell. Perez sixth. Alonso holds on to seventh ahead of Alex Albon, Charles Leclerc and Carlos Sainz.
This is the Outlap F1 Podcast, featuring America's own John, James, Andy, and Deanna. Your one-stop shop for Formula One news, insights, race previews, and reviews. Join us on the Outlap!
Welcome to Season 5, Episode 20 of the Outlap F1 Podcast, part of the Ship It Studios Podcast Network, and this is the 2023 British Grand Prix Race Review. I am your host, James, with my wonderful co-host, Dee and Andy. Got Cody still out in Japan. It is excellent to see you two. Dee, you are in a very large room. Upgrade since the last time I saw you, I think. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing good. It's been a while, I think, since we've been on the show together. But it's been more than me and just Andy. But looks like we are all in support of Clearing today.
Yep, dug it out the closet to celebrate a good day for the papaya. Andy, you are brimming, my good man. Mm-hmm. How you feeling?
It's been a great morning. I wish I could say that it translated into my golf game, but it did not. But besides that, I'm just fresh back, actually just fresh back from the course. But it was an awesome morning, awesome weekend. Papaya Nation is rejoicing. And they didn't even win the race. So that's just how far they've come.
Yeah, what a day for McLaren. We'll get into all that. But first, I got to let everybody know you can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Discord, Reddit, and YouTube. At Outlap F1 Podcast. Of course, you can check out our link tree on our Twitter profile page. Do us a solid and click like and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube, or click the 5-star button if you're on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or any kind of rating system for any of the podcasting apps. You can email the show at chatnow@outlapf1.com. Check out the website at www.outlapf1.com. We find all of our old episodes, including our F1 for Beginners back on episode 4 of last season. Andy, Outlap F1 Nation, still hanging in there with us. Why don't you give them a shout out now?
Yeah, as always, thank you so much for the continued support. Special shout out to Dean Warwick, Yuri Dolchester, Paul Weaver, Quentin Warden, Kevin Kelly, Regan Stanzik, Timothy Brown, and of course, Jonathan Scott. If you'd like to become a member of what we call our hashtag Outlap F1 Nation, see our link in our show notes. It's our anchor page, $5. It all goes into making the show better. And we're hoping to bring some updates and stuff in the near future. So thank you very much for all the support.
Yeah, you can find that link in the show notes to help us out. You can also help us out by going to Manscaped for all your manscaping needs and using code OUTLAP, OUTLAP, all one word, for 20% off and free shipping. And of course, our buddy Vincenzo Landino has his F1guy.com for his t-shirt line. All right, all that's in order now. We'll move into our headlines of the day. And for that, I will hand it off to Andy first.
Look what happens when you put some chrome back on the McLaren. They seem to tap into their old winning ways. They didn't quite win the race today, but a solid P2 and P4, which I never saw coming, especially here. I wish I could say that I saw this coming. I didn't, but great result. Oh, and oh yeah, Max Verstappen is still great, and we're watching greatness unfold right in front of your eyes if you haven't noticed, because, yeah, damn, he's still really good.
Yeah, what a day for McLaren there. Goes right along with my headline of the day, Lando MG, because that was incredible. I think I texted you that during qualifying, and it carried over right into the race. If only we had known, I'm sure the odds to bet Lando getting a podium would have been pretty juicy, but we missed out. Oh, well. Deanna, what do you got for headline of the day?
Welcome back, McLaren. Great day for them, and I think officially what used to be the curse of the special liveries has been broken. Them with the heritage chrome livery, as well as Williams with their heritage livery as well, also had a really solid weekend. So good to see both of those teams kind of back in front of Ferrari, especially. Yeah, great weekend.
Really slid that in there. Thank you. And yeah, and actually Lando's chrome helmet was pretty badass as well. So a nice theme in the McLaren garage this weekend. All right, that's it for headlines. We'll move into the qualifying recap. Andy, you're the star of the show. Take it away.
In the tricky, changeable conditions of Saturday, going out in Q1, he did not set a lap time. Or actually, he did, but he didn't finish because his engine blew up. But that was Valtteri Bottas in the Alfa Romeo. P19, Kevin Magnussen. P18, Nick DeVries. P17, Joe Granju. P16 was Yuki Tsunoda. P15... Sergio Checo Perez not advancing to Q3, only into Q2. P14, Logan Sargeant. P13, Esteban Ocon. P12, Lance Stroll. Bit of a surprise there for the Aston Martin. P11, Nico Hülkenberg. The top 10 from 10 to 1 in P10 was Pierre Gasly. P9 was Fernando Alonso. P8 was Alex Albon. P7 was Lewis Hamilton. P6 was George Russell. P5, Carlos Sainz. P4 was Charles Leclerc. P3 was Oscar Piastri in the McLaren, and P2 was Lando Norris in the other McLaren. And, of course, P1, Max Verstappen with a lap time of 1:26.720.
All right. Thank you, Andy. I think I'll point out Aston Martin to lead things off. It seems like qualifying in the race, they've been falling off. But a question to the two of you, do you think it's the teams like McLaren, Ferrari, Mercedes are getting better faster? Or is Aston taking steps backwards? Because it seems like they've really kind of dropped back down to the rest of the upper end of the midfield, we'll call it. So, Andy, what do you think? Is it Aston Martin sucking, or are the other teams just doing that much better in their development?
I don't think it's so much Aston Martin doing anything differently than they already have. I think it's these other teams have stepped up a bit. We've seen huge upgrade packages from McLaren, from Ferrari, and from Mercedes. So, you know, those teams were only going to be bad for so long. And now that the parts have come through the pipeline, we're seeing kind of the result and Aston Martin kind of coming back to where they were. Now, they've brought some updates, but I don't think it's given them the same bang for the buck that all these other ones have. But and the other thing is I think they've even come out and said they're already focused on 24. So I think they tried to get as many points hauls as they could early. They've done a great job with that. They have a great lead in the constructors, at least in terms of P3 right now. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know that they're standing still, but I think their focus is on future years and better things to come for them.
Makes sense. I saw somebody comment on Twitter that it's because they miss Sebastian Vettel's expertise. I mean, I don't know. I think he helped them figure out how to make the car spin better, but that's – about all that. But when I read that, I was worried my eyes were going to get stuck in the back of my head because that's how hard my eyes rolled. But side note. Deanna, anything from qualifying you want to talk about?
I feel like I had something. Oh, I think just in general, this session, props to everybody involved and everybody's very well behaved. That was one of the more exciting kind of traditional sessions for everybody to give their gaps, everybody to get in laps, and just to see the times fall one after the other, right at the end of each session. That was just really cool. It was really awesome. And then for the split second that Norris had a pull, it was incredible.
That was awesome. Andy, like, what were you feeling at that moment when he came across and was P1?
Shock. I think is probably the best word. You know, I knew he had a good lap going, but I was looking at him versus, I think it was him versus Russell, because I figured, you know, that was really where the fight was. And I'm comparing lap times. I'm like, okay, looks like Lando's going to be up with it. And he crosses it, and it pops up to P1, and I went, wait a minute. Everybody else is done with their laps. Who's left? Who can take this? And I see Max, you know, purple in Sector 3, and I went, well, okay, he's not going to get that, but holy crap, front row, man.
Yeah.
Damn. And
front row somewhere where it almost seems like typically P2 is where you want to start at Silverstone too. So a little bit of foreshadowing as we go into the race. Anything else from qualifying? I mean, I was happy to see Ferrari. They looked to have some pace. Things were looking good at that point, as they tend to do in qualifying. And then Williams, I mean, after I'm not going to say dominating in practice, but really comparatively dominating in as far as Williams typically does in practice, putting up some great times, a little bit of a rocket ship, seemed to struggle worse than some of the other teams earlier in qualifying with the wet conditions. But as the track ramped up, Albon put in a hell of a time to be P8 in a Williams. Pretty good.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, as it got drier, the Williams got stronger, and we're seeing that those upgrades are sticking both in qualifying trim and in race pace. So Williams is I think the other team that's kind of on the come in the last couple of races.
Yeah. All right. So we'll go ahead and move into the race. And for that, we start off with the back markers. If my computer will help me scroll here. We got Kevin Magnussen not finishing. Esteban Ocon as well not finishing today. Pierre Gasly finishing in 18th place after starting 10th. He did not finish as well. Nyck de Vries finished in 17th after starting 18th. Yuki Tsunoda all the way down in 16th. Zhou Guan Yu in 15th. Lance Stroll in 14th. And Nico Hülkenberg down in 13th. So back markers, I'll go to UD first. What do you want to talk about?
We'll start with Pierre Gasly. I think getting definitely taken out by Lance Stroll, who only got a 5-second penalty, where, I'll talk about Stroll in this moment as well, but that is also contributing, I think, to the downfall, but slide of Aston Martin. I just think it has been very disappointing, those performances. But Gasly, all in all, running a decent race. He got mad at Sainz for basically nothing. But other than that, and getting taken out, decent day. Horrible day Alpine overall with a double DNF. So
yeah, not a good day for Alpine.
Alonso smiled about that one. There's a picture where it shows they're talking to Norris about Norris taking over Alpine, and then there's Alonso's in the back just smiling. So yeah.
Andy, what do you got from the back markers?
The four race trial of Nyck de Vries is not going very well. And the pressure will continue to ramp up. Helmut Marko was quoted almost a backhanded slap, as you would almost call it in the media, saying something to the effect of, I forget who else, he was praising somebody else, but he like, well, he doesn't do this, like Nyck de Vries always finishing in the back. And it just shows he's clearly in Helmut Marko's crosshairs. It's not going well. He's not responding well. It sucks. It's a shitty situation. I feel awful for the kid. But I don't know if he's going to survive this season at this point, because that pressure is just going to continue to ramp up.
Yeah, we saw how Helmut Marko treats cameramen. Well, he's on camera. It's a, you know, I wonder how he's treating de Vries behind closed doors. It can't be pretty. All right, so we'll move up to the midfield, where we find Valtteri Bottas finishing in 12th place. Logan Sargeant just outside of the points in 11th. Carlos Sainz in 10th. Ferrari 10 and 9. Charles Leclerc in 9th place. So what a day there. Alexander Albon in 8th. Fernando Alonso in 7th. Sergio Checo Perez makes it all the way up to 6th from 15th. And then you got George Russell, Mr. Top 5, back in appearance in the top 5 here. Oscar Piastri in 4th. So, yeah, Ferrari. Pretty excited after qualifying. Thought some good things were happening. And then a little bit of a strategy blunder, I'd say. Went for that early pit that they sometimes tend to do, seem to do anyway. And that did not work out, kind of blew up in their faces. And that safety car, which at the time seemed kind of weird that it took so long to actually make it a full-blown safety car from the virtual safety car, but I don't think really affected anything differently there. And then, yeah, Ferrari was just pretty much fucked after that. So that was awesome.
Yep. Once again, Ferrari strategy is just, it blows my mind. I mean, it's one thing to pit Leclerc, and then you see his pace. You see that he's not making inroads. And you're the first of, like, the top 15 to pit. So then you also become the second to pit with Sainz onto the same tire and throw him in the same situation and then leave him out when everybody goes onto softer compounds around him. And it was just all very curious, I guess.
They just wanted to make sure what Leclerc was doing wasn't just an anomaly. They wanted to confirm that it was actually that.
Yeah, it really. It was that bad. And you're watching Russell ahead of you stay on the softs, on used softs to lap. I don't know. We made it to 28.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, let me pit before him onto the hards. That sounds, while my teammate's struggling, great choices.
Yeah, I think the softs definitely lasted longer than teams had anticipated. I mean, they're the hardest soft you could have, if that makes sense. So that was interesting. And like when Leclerc first started setting the times, because I think he was behind Albon around 3 seconds when he came out, and he was like barely gaining time. I was like, oh, no, he's being smart. Like he's slowly bringing the tires up to temp. Like he's not going to burn them out early trying to chase down. I was like, this is great. It's going to work. This is the plan. And then he just realized, no, that's not actually the plan. I'm just hoping for the best.
Well, what was it? Fred Vasseur, I think he gave an interview post-race where their big concern was tire deg. And historically, this is a track that has eaten up tires. But Pirelli, to their credit, have reinforced their harder compounds of tire. Now, they didn't have to bring the C0, which is the hardest, coldest tire that they make. But it, you know, this is where we've seen tire failures before. I think that spooked a lot of people. Not only Ferrari got caught out by that. There were other teams that got caught out by that as well, trying to make that decision late. And I think it was just everybody was worried about tire deg, and the tire deg just never came out either because the track was green because of all the rain, or for whatever reason, it just never played out the way that a traditional Silverstone would. So I got it at the time. I thought the first pit stop that Leclerc makes was trying to induce people to get to a two-stopper, and there was just no other takers.
Well, everybody was matching his pace after he did a few laps on the hard, but it was like, what's the point?
Right.
So, Andy, I don't want to talk about Piastri yet. I think we lump him in with the podium finishers. So who else do you want to hit on here in the midfield?
I'm getting more and more impressed again with one Logan Sargeant. It's nice to see, now that we're into the European season, in tracks that he's familiar with and places where he's gone well in before, he's coming around. The Williams car's got some upgrades on it. Both him and Albon looked very good throughout most of the weekend. Albon specifically, the king of practice, if there is such a thing, was Alex Albon this weekend. Able to translate it into, you know, making Q3 and, both Williams, I thought, equated themselves very well. They are, like I said, the next team that looks like they're going to be on a bit of a streak here. Be interesting to see if they can carry over the form into Hungary. It's a very different circuit from here. But, I've been saying this about Sargeant, and I've had lots of people ask me questions about him, and they're like, why is he struggling? Well, he's not been in any really places where he's raced before until now. So, now that he's kind of coming in, I hope this is the start of him coming into his own, getting some confidence, feeling like that pressure and that, the shadow of people who aren't in cars are, getting off of his back. And he looks like he's got some support and good support from his team. James Vowles has gone on the record and said, look, we're going to stand by him. He's a rookie. We get it. I'm hoping for bigger and better things. Just missing out on the points today, I'm hopeful that in the next few races he can maybe crack out a point or two.
Yeah, when you're talking about Albon in practice, it's almost like you're calling him the anti-Allen Iverson. Practice. Talking about practice. Dee, anybody you want to touch on here in the midfield?
I mean, again, we've kind of touched on it. The Aston Martin pace is a bit questionable about where it went. I did listen to a bit of the F1 TV coverage of practice because James Hinchcliffe is on there and he's one of my favorite commentators. but they were kind of talking about Pirelli bought their new construction of tires this weekend. And I think some of that played into the balance of some of these cars in a good way for maybe McLaren and Williams. I think kind of helping take some of the understeer out of the cars and kind of the reverse on some of these other teams. So I don't know, maybe it's when they get used to the tires that they're on that changes down the line. But I don't know where it went. Also Perez, once again, just not doing what he should be. So at least he has Nick DeVries in the firing line ahead of him. So.
All right. Thank you, D. All right. Let's go ahead and move into the podium and we'll add fourth place finisher as well. I think we just get right into it. Andy, this is your time. Go off, King.
Woo. Boy, what a, like I said before, what kind of a shocker of suddenly finding pace, race pace, qualifying pace, all of it for the McLaren team this weekend. Like I said, I wish I could have said that I saw this coming. Apparently the only one who saw it coming was Mika Häkkinen, and everybody laughed at him when he made those comments a couple weeks ago. Well, who's laughing now, apparently? But, I mean, they didn't really practice all that well. I mean, their Friday pace was okay on some of the medium and the harder tires, but it really wasn't all that great on the soft tires. And it wasn't until, I think, midway through the third practice, Lando comes in and makes an adjustment. It takes a little bit longer. He doesn't get a flying lap in, and now everybody's all concerned what's going to go on. But since that moment happened, whatever that last adjustment was, put that car in a really good spot because it enabled Lando to do what he needed to do in qualifying. And then in the race, he gets the start on Max. We finally saw somebody get a start on Max Verstappen. Couldn't make it last beyond once the DRS came online, and that was kind of what I was expecting. You know, when Max, nice move to get back around him. But once he's there, he settled in. He was nice and comfortable into P2. With Piastri being right behind him in P3 until the Magnussen engine failure, which brought out the VSC, which they were not in position to take advantage of, and then the full safety car, which they tried to take advantage of. But then, you know, they were having the same tire debate that a lot of other teams were having, DEG versus performance on the maybe the used softs, and they ended up sticking to their original call of going with the hard tires in spite of Lando's objection, which is something that usually doesn't happen. Normally, when Lando says a soft tire would be lovely, they usually accommodate, but they didn't have time. So by the time they were actually having the discussion, Lando's almost at the beginning of the pit lane, and I don't think they wanted a chaotic stop. So he comes back out. He's on that hard tire. He's clearly, everybody around him on soft tires. And my thought as a fan is, I've seen this movie before, and it doesn't end well for the team in chrome. We get the safety car restart, and for whatever reason, either Lando decides to put the hammer down or the car did what it needed to do, a combination of probably both, manages to hold off Hamilton in those first couple laps, ends up wiggling Lewis out of DRS range once the DRS came back online. And then after that, there still was more drama because he was on his third strike in terms of track limits, and if he would have gone out one more time, it would have meant a five-second penalty. So this race could not do anything to calm my nerves at all until the very last lap when he finally crosses the line and he realized he was okay. But a great drive for him. The move, the counter move to keep Lewis behind him was some great racing. There was one point on the timing, it was 0.031 seconds, and it lasted 3 mini sectors where Norris and Hamilton were literally side by side, and that was the gap. And normally when you see that, you're almost expecting the overtake, and the fact that it didn't happen, I think it was a combination of one, Lando keeping his foot in it, and two, Lewis backing out of it because he didn't need to do that. He didn't need to make that move there. So, yeah, great day for McLaren. It kind of sucks for Piastri. He was going to be P3. He gets overtaken under the safety car. But his pace was right there, and he didn't have all of necessarily the upgrades. So there's more coming onto his car. So world meet Oscar Piastri. This is why he was as sought after as he was last year and why it was such a big deal that McLaren got him.
Yeah, I guess just to kind of comment on that, like the start of that race, granted, they're still nowhere near Max, but I think that is the closest battle he has had all year long for him to, A, to overtake him on the start, keep him behind for about 4 laps, and then stay within DRS of him for another, like, 3 or 4 laps was massive. I think it wasn't until, like, lap 11 or 12 until he was, like, over 2 seconds up the road, and then it kind of went on from there. But I think that's the closest anybody's held on for a very long time, and for him to drag Piastri around with him, Piastri's told a whole station, but at the beginning extent was doing definitely a really good job there. I think McLaren definitely got themselves saved a headache with the safety car, whether because I think Norris may have come out just behind Piastri. But yeah, that could have been an easily double podium for them. And then I think at the end of the day, the tire decision, when it happened, I was ready to throw something at my TV. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, you put him on the soft, you see what the softs have done on Russell and the whole nine yards and everybody else is going on softs. But I mean, Zach Brown said on the broadcast that they were worried about tire deg. So I think, like, kind of looking at if you put the softs on, yes, maybe there's a slight potential that he could get up closer to Max, but probably not in the long run. But I think with a team that has had issues with tire degradation in the past, maybe as Hamilton's tires were falling off, maybe Norris's would have fallen off more and he would have gotten overtaken, something like that. But I think McLaren's tire decision was saved by both of their drivers being as talented as they are.
Yeah, when they put on the hards, like, my first thought, of course, was about Andy. And I'm like, are we really going to be talking about how McLaren Ferrari'd their way off the podium, or at least Lando did? I'm like, this can't be. And then, yeah, when they got the black and white flag for him, I was just like, oh, I know Andy bought himself a nice chair, but he's only using the edge of it right now.
I was scared to move, man. I'm sitting here and I'm just like, I got one hand on my mouse and I'm sitting like, okay, if I don't move, he won't go off track limits, right? And then, of course, with the scary part was with about two laps to go, he locks up and he keeps it within the black and white. You know, he was fine. It wasn't close to track limits, but I'm like, Jesus Christ, just bring the car home at this point. You're fine. Nerve wracking.
It was probably two laps away, though, from it being a double podium again, with Piastri finished within a second of Hamilton. So,
yeah. Yeah, because he had really lost his rears. Yeah.
Anyway.
Or if that safety car, it felt like it was so long. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe if it hadn't been so long, Piastri would have had a shot. But, yeah, because Lewis definitely lost his rears.
Where Magnussen stopped was probably about one of the worst places. There was no Marshall posts. There was no break in the wall or anything. They literally had to take the crane from the other end of the straight, wheel it down. Mm-hmm. They had to put it on a flatbed to get it cleared. You know, it was almost like you could almost make a case like that's almost red flag type thing. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad they didn't do that. But that's why we sometimes see red flag.
Yeah. So, Andy, you think, you know, McLaren's going to be off and running a little bit the rest of the season? Do you think this was a little bit more track specific with, you know, obviously the upgrades are working, but do you see this as kind of, are they going to be battling for podiums more the rest of the season?
I would love to say I hope so. For one thing I am very excited for, I'm excited as hell for COTA now, because COTA is very much like Silverstone in the topography of that racetrack. So my interest for that race just went up, you know, tenfold. As if it needed to at all. But in terms of where I think they're going to be, the next race is going to actually really kind of tell where they are, because this course had high-speed corners. They were great in high-speed corners. They've always been really good in high-speed corners. For the last 2-3 years, they've struggled in the low-speed corners, which Hungary has a ton of them. If they can show, if they are anywhere near this type of form in Hungary, those upgrades have solved a lot more problems than we thought that they would have. And then they are off and running. But I think I think they were great here. But we've also seen other teams bubble up and be the second quickest car in other circuits. And I think that's the razor's edge that all these midfield teams, everybody basically other than Red Bull, are kind of dancing on that razor's edge. So I hope it's the start of something really, really great and things to come, but I still want to see some more because we've only really got two data points at this point.
Very good. All right, so let's move into Sir Hamilton, I guess we can call him. Finished in third after starting in seventh. Got a little bit of luck there, I think, to finish on the podium, as Dee mentioned a little bit ago. Some George Russell drama. I don't know if it's quite drama yet, but a little bit of that bubbling up, some of the comments that Russell made on the radio. But what'd you think about Hamilton's day overall, Dee? A lucky podium, if you call it that.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely didn't do himself any favors on the opening lap. He ran wide, went down a couple spots. I mean, he did a good job to make it up. And then, got lucky with the safety car there. But I think overall, it's a decent race. I mean, Mercedes is obviously up there. Happy for the Brits, I guess. It probably should have been Piastri at the end of the day, but it was a fun battle seeing him and Norris go at it. So I'm very happy about that.
Anything on Hamilton, Andy? Before I have a little bit of a Lewis epiphany during the race today, but it's kind of a mixture between Lewis and Max. So I'll give you a shot for Lewis before I get into that.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was the benefactor of basically all of the circumstances of the race that kind of all played into his hands. But he does come up from P7. He did manage to get on the podium, you know, safety car or not. He still got to put it there. And they did go racy, which we've sometimes criticized Mercedes for doing in the past, trying to get as high of a finish as they could. But Lewis ended up cooking the especially the rears of the soft tires, and that was kind of where he ended up staying. It was surprising that Piastri didn't close the gap much more quickly, but, you know, testament to Lewis and just keeping in pace and getting it all the way to the finish enables him to come home P3 today. So good days, I think, for Mercedes overall, and a good day for Lewis.
Yeah, so something I noticed today, more so I think in other races, because I know it's not just today, but I think I've realized that early in my F1 fandom was during, you know, Lewis Hamilton's heyday, his dominance. And one thing I used to always kind of complain about with Lewis or bitch about with Lewis was that he'd be dominating a race and he'd be on the radio complaining about his tires or bitching about this, bitching about that. I'd be like, dude. And then he'd set like a fastest lap or something. And I'd be like, this is bullshit. Like, dude, shut up. You're trying to create all this bullshit on nothing or make it seem like it's all dramatic when it's nothing. Like you're 30 seconds up the road. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so I'm like, I'm watching today, and I noticed Verstappen kept playing his audio, and he was saying, "Oh, I don't like the way this is feeling." It's like the wind. I'm like, oh, I don't know about these tires. I don't really think about these tires. I'm like, dude, you're fucking dominating. Like, what? And then it kind of clicked in my head. I was like, did I have it all wrong in the beginning? I was like, maybe this is just what happens when a guy's clearly the most dominant car or driver on the track, and he's just giving good feedback to his team. And F1, you know, TV direction says, hey, we need to hear from the leader for something. And all it is complaining. Now, Lewis's voice is a little whinier, in my personal opinion, than Max's. Max just more seems more just like to the point. But that just could be my own bias, obviously. But yeah, I think I almost have to apologize to Lewis that maybe I had it wrong back then. So I hand up. That was on me.
There's a lot of the team radio now that I've, you know, kind of learned with getting F1 TV and having access to them. There's so much team radio that's taken one out of context and two is sometimes edited for exasperation and or drama that gets on the broadcast that isn't necessarily real all the time. And I think, you know, maybe that's just some feedback. That may be Max, how are the tires? How's the pace? And that's what he says, but they don't broadcast the question. They just broadcast the exasperated answer while he's doing 200 miles an hour down the hangar straight and trying to remember what mode to put the car in while he's also trying to remember which direction to turn. So, you know, it's a lot that goes on when all of that happens. So I do think F1 direction takes some levity. They take some license to build the drama because that's their job. That's what they're trying to do. And I think that's probably why you're hearing, you know, the same thing. But I noticed the same thing too. Like all of a sudden, whenever you hear Max on the radio now in this dominant era that we've seen, it's always, oh, something's not right. Something might be happening. I don't know what's going on. And then it never amounts to anything.
Yeah. Hey, Andy, when you edit tonight's episode, will you make sure that John can't hear any of what I just said?
We'll put the special track for everybody and the one for John.
But yeah, for Verstappen, another race win for Red Bull, now Italian, Williams for the most wins by a constructor in a row. Is there anything else to say that we haven't already said about Max and Red Bull's current dominance? I did see just before we started recording that he can finish in second the rest of the year and still win the championship. So I'm sure in a couple races he can finish in third every race and still win the championship and then ultimately, it'll be sealed pretty early on here.
Oh, I'm sure he's headed for the record of earliest sealed like championship.
Yeah. Yeah, he's up not quite 100. I think he's up 99 points right now to Checo, and Checo seems really, really struggling. So, yeah.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be anybody who wants to be in that P2 position who can really challenge. So, yeah, I mean, it's just a matter of the math working itself out, I think, at this point. And I would say, what is it? Maybe, I don't think he's going to have it wrapped up by Zandvoort because that's the first race after the break, but I could see Singapore, Japan, easy wrapping this puppy up from a driver's perspective.
Yeah, that is fastly coming. But yeah, that's the recap of the race. So we'll take a break, pay some bills, come back, talk about standing, some emails, and our awards. So come on back.
You are listening to the Outlap F1 podcast, and we'll be right back after this quick pit stop.
All right, welcome back to Season 5, Episode 20 of the Outlap F1 podcast, part of the Ship It Studios podcast network, and this is the 2023 British Grand Prix race review. Once again, I am your host, James, along with Dee and Andy, and we are moving into the driver standings, which I'll hand it off to you, D4.
All right, so still leading the championship is Max Verstappen on 255 points, and he would also be leading the constructors on his own if he could. And only 99 points behind is his teammate in second, Sergio Perez. In third is Alonso on 137, with Lewis Hamilton in fourth on 121. Then it's Carlos Sainz in fifth on 83 points, George Russell on 82, Charles Leclerc on 74, and it's Lance Stroll on 44, who is also 93 points behind his teammate. I'll point that out again later. Then we have Lando Norris jumping up to ninth on 42 points, and Esteban Ocon running out the top 10 with 31.
All right, thank you, Dee. Andy, you want to run us through the constructors?
Yeah, so our constructor standings, Red Bull Racing Powertrains in a world and universe of their own, 411 points. P2 is Mercedes. They check in with 203 points. P3, Aston Martin. They still have 181 points to their credit. P4 is Ferrari with 157. P5, McLaren move into that now with today's results. They move up to 59 points. P6 is Alpine. They check in with 47. Another mover, P7, Williams Mercedes up to P7. They now overtake Haas on countback with 11 points. P8 is Haas. They also have the 11 points. P9 is Alfa Romeo on 9 points, and in P10, AlphaTauri only with 2 points.
Andy, any chance McLaren catches Ferrari?
Oh, that's a big ask. That's a big ask, and it's a big chasm. They'd have to have basically this type of performance and have Ferrari be out of it. I don't see it happening this season. I think it's too big a hole.
I don't put it past Ferrari.
Ferrari can Ferrari. Yeah.
I don't think they're that bad throughout the rest of the season. This was a lot of circumstances that played into McLaren's hands and played against Ferrari's. So I think even if they just kind of mark them, even if they start racing each other consistently and they're only a position or two behind them, even if McLaren beat them, it's almost too big. The math is very much against it.
Yeah, I mean,
I'd love to see it.
Let's put it this way. If you offered a wager on who would finish ahead of the other, I would take it, you know. But I would not be confident at all. All right, let's go ahead, go into the fan emails. Hand it off to you again, Dee, for this one.
So starting with Rachel Fleming, she says, so this might be the last DM on Twitter, but who knows what Elon might have done to this platform by then. But what a race by Lando Norris. He made the hard tire work and kept Lewis behind him, easily driver of the day. But only a 5-second penalty for Lance Stroll. Was his dad in charge of the stewarding today? That should have been a drive-through penalty at least, which would have made Nick DeVries look better as he came in last. Again, Marco's 4-race warning isn't working. Finally, hope you guys had a great 4th of July and another year of freedom from us Brits.
Oh, that's good. I like the last line. That was good.
Yep.
But anyway, thanks, Rachel, for shouting out. Appreciate you. Just to your points, I mean, I have a special thing for Elon Musk in a minute. So you can probably see where I'm going to go with that. I echo your point on Lando Norris, obviously. The 5-second penalty for Stroll after clearly punting Pierre Gasly off didn't seem that justice was done there.
All right. And I think we have one from the formula.
Yes. So the formula says, what a huge haul of points for McLaren. I can't believe Lando held off Lewis with a tire disadvantage. I'm very, very hopeful that this is the beginning of something special. Lando deserves a win. Side note, what the hell happened to Aston Martin? So I guess starting with Norris, that I think we've all kind of said a lot there, but I think especially impressive, which I didn't talk about earlier, was again that defending from Lewis, but knowing, like going through Copps and Maggots and Becketts, knowing that he would get the advantage there and just kind of managing it just enough to hold him off on the straights. It was just awesome to see. And again, on the hards versus soft. So yeah, it was just a great, great, great performance from him. And Aston Martin, who knows? Any other comments, anybody?
Well, I mean, one of the things that I think makes Lando special is the quickness of his racing brain in terms of where to position a car. I've seen it happen many other times where, like, especially when he's setting somebody up when he's only got maybe a tenth or two advantage and it's really like a DRS trade. You go back to a few races ago, even with Canada, and yeah, we know he didn't score points there, but in the ability to, he was the only one that broke that DRS train and got some overtaking done at the end of that race. And that's the type of special talent that I think he has. You could see it happening where he's like, well, okay, I have to go here in order. The only way I can make this work is if I go here and make Lewis go along the long way around me going into some of these corners. And he made Lewis try it, and Lewis couldn't pull it off today. So I didn't think it was going to happen, but, you know, hey, Lando on another level today.
Very true. All right, let's go ahead and move into our weekly awards. And as usual, we'll start off with rubbish. Andy, what you got?
All right, so this one goes out actually from last week during the Austrian Grand Prix weekend. And apologies, we couldn't get an episode out, but we were all out of town. But anyway, in the middle of qualifying, all of a sudden, the way we tend to do it is I like to live tweet the qualifying, and all of a sudden everyone's Twitter, and I mean everyone's Twitter, decides to take a shit and go offline. And then we find out, we get this variety of reasons as to why he's limiting how many tweets you can see. And the only thing I would say to that is, do you not understand what the hell your platform is? Your platform number one, whether you like it or not, you can put whatever ads you want to put in there, but you're a news site, whether you want to admit it or not. And when you fuck with the way that we as podcasters communicate with our audience over the course of the weekend, I take that shit kind of seriously. And I take that personally. And I don't like that. So Elon Musk, giant middle finger from me to you about doing that shit in the middle of an F1 weekend. At least you got it fixed for the race, man. Hot damn.
Well said, Andy. Deanna, what you got for your rubbish?
I think I've been subtly or not so subtly hinting about this the whole episode, but it has to be Lance Stroll. A, for taking out Gasly, very obviously. B, for getting knocked out in Q2 again. I feel like constantly Crofty's on the broadcast being like, Lance Stroll is one of the big names to get knocked out. And like, it's been almost as disastrous as Perez has been. I'm just ready for Drugovic to be in that seat. He is nearly 100 points behind Alonso, and they are not, I mean, Alonso's gotten some podiums, but they are not always up there with, like, getting race wins, obviously. So, like, that takes a considerable amount of gap in performance at this point in the season to be that far behind your teammate. I'm just over it. It's the moral of the story.
Very well said as well. For my rubbish, I actually kind of struggle. I usually don't struggle to think of a rubbish, but this weekend I did. And then I saw some people tweeting some pictures of what like the grand general admission area looked like at Silverstone. So I'm going to give the rubbish award to actual rubbish. There was trash everywhere where people had been sitting. They just left it behind for some poor slub to clean up. So it annoys me when I go to like a movie theater and people just leave their garbage behind. It's like, take it with you and throw it in the fucking garbage can. It's not that hard. It really not. So yeah, the rubbish award goes to rubbish. And the rubbish people that left the rubbish on the ground. That's all I got. All right. Analysis paralysis. Blast from the past, Andy. But Ferrari is back, baby. Analysis paralysis award was always an honorary Ferrari award back when the podcast started. And that is the, yeah, that we're back again. And that's what it is. Andy, Are you on the same kind of page as me there?
Well, we were one Lewis Hamilton overtake away from me giving it to McLaren and all of the negativity that would have flowed through me had that happened. But luckily, Lando was better than all of that. But this will go out to Ferrari for pitting Leclerc and forcing that two-stop and clearly not getting anybody else to bite on that when you saw what George Russell was doing with the soft tire. So didn't get it, didn't understand it at the time, and it obviously didn't work out. So, yeah, two Ferrari analysis paralysis from me.
Andy, I know you've been known to throw a hat or two during upsetting parts of the race, but I think you would have thrown your hat through a wall. I'm not sure that, I'm not sure how the physics would work there, but I think you would have been that angry.
It would have been another one of those where I just sit back to my chair and I'm like, what the hell would have happened? Because that's what I was thinking. Like literally, the blood just rushes out of you when you think that something bad is going to happen. And was the whole race was like you're waiting for that to happen, and then it does. But luckily, they were better than the call today.
Would have been a pretty cool visual, maybe some edgy art, the hat in the wall, and then just put a frame around it. The time McLaren screwed Lando, Andy.
already seen that. That was called Russia from 2 years ago.
True. Dee, what do you got for analysis paralysis?
Oh, it's Ferrari. I think we should just rename the award.
Can't argue with that today. Dark Horse. We'll start with you for this one, Deanna. What do you got for your dark horse? Or who do you got for your dark horse?
I'm going with Oscar Piastri. I think it was like highest quality in a decade for a rookie. He was fighting with Max on that first lap, and I think he went close to side by side with them through cops. And I just like Max's comment in the post race little room when he just said, happy he didn't understeer. So that was just a nice little callback, which there was many this weekend. And yeah, I think just on pure pace, he should have had a podium. So just really, really awesome to kind of see the potential we all knew he had. So.
Yep, I'm right.
Oscar Piastri.
I'm right there with you. I got Oscar Piastri as my dark horse as well. Yeah, I mean, Lando, you know, got in front of Max to start the race, but Piastri was right on Max's ass there for a few laps. That was awesome to see. Mm-hmm. Just a great weekend for him. And as Andy mentioned, you know, with us being the European delay now, we'll see what he can really do on some tracks he's familiar with. So exciting to keep an eye on that. Andy, who do you have for dark horse?
Slightly different direction here, although I think Oscar's definitely worthy of it. But I'm going to go Alex Albon and Logan Sargeant, specifically for Williams. Great. Like I said, they actually turned some of the practice pace into some real pace. It was legit. They got these points. They've gotten these points. They've gotten to P7 in the constructors on merit. This was not a fluke. This wasn't inheriting something. This wasn't a penalty situation. This is them on merit. It's the best they've looked in a long time. I'm loving everything. D, we've talked about this. James Vowles is putting that team in the right spot. I am so happy for that. I was really happy to hear him say the nice things about Logan Sargeant today. Tells me that his seat is probably not as hot as everybody thinks it is. So give that kid some time. Let them cook, and let's see what Williams can do, because this second half of the season could be something pretty amazing for them.
Hell yeah. And then driver of the day. I got a feeling we're going to have a clean sweep here. I'm going Lando. D?
Lando.
Lando. Andy. Shocker?
Lando!
I would have never guessed. But yeah, Lando, clear driver of the day. I think he won the actual like vote too, right?
Yeah, yep, he did.
Yeah, no surprise
there. Second race in a row. Second race in a row. He actually won it in Austria too.
Oh, I didn't realize he won the Austria one. Wow. Yeah, that would have been a shocker if anybody was even close to him after today's race. All right, Andy, do you want to go over the Austrian prediction results?
Yeah, so we didn't get a chance to do this last week, but Cody and I had Austria Grand Prix predictions. So we actually tied, and we've made it a habit sometimes of doing this. We each had 5 points. Cody got the qualifying time. He got P1 on the podium. He got the fastest lap driver. He got the prop bet, and he got P1 on the sprint podium. I also had 5 points. I got the pole sitter, P1 on the podium, the fastest lap time, the prop bet, and again, P1 on the sprint podium as well. So we each get 2 points. So our prediction season standings, Cody's still in the lead. He's got 12 points, and now I'm up to 8.
All right, very good. Any final thoughts as this European swing continues, Deanna.
I mean, just another pretty decent race at Silverstone. It's one of the greatest tracks in the world. Loved being back there. It was a great weekend, I think, overall, despite Max kind of dominating as to be expected, but a little bit less this weekend. So that was fun to see. Yeah, looking forward to Hungary.
Andy, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I thought overall the racing was actually really good today in terms of the racecraft and the way that you could see this track seems to suit this rule package really, really well. And you can see the potential of what everybody's trying to build. You know, I've heard it said many times, you just put that post-it note over P1, what a championship battle you would be having right now. But, you know, unfortunately, that's not the case. You can't do that. But we're now going into Hungary, and this was the other track. I said Monaco might be one. Hungary's going to be another one. You don't have the big, long straight. Maybe Max, it hasn't been as dominant the last three weekends. Maybe there's something here. If McLaren's form is real, or if maybe Aston Martin can come back to form, or Ferrari can come back to form, any one of them can maybe put some real pressure on Max in this next race, because I don't think this is going to suit the Red Bull as much as some of the other tracks will, for sure. Maybe this is where we get our bogey and we see what happens. But anyway, it's something to tune in for. I'll be certainly tuning in, and yeah, love the Hungaro ring.
Well, real quick then, going into the next race, does Red Bull set the new all-time record for constructor wins in a row? Andy, yes or no?
I got to say yes until I see it. I can't bet against that. That seems a bad bet.
D, you with him?
No, I'm going no on blind faith and hope. I need something different in my life.
Fuck it. I'll ride with you. They're not going to do it.
We just need one record to not be broken this season.
Double DNF for Red Bull.
Yeah. Oh, wouldn't that be something?
To each other. Yeah. Oh, it'd
be and a Ferrari 1-2.
Hey!
Yeah. I'll fuck with that.
All right. And for me, you know, it's another good race. You guys kind of already mentioned it. But Silverstone is a great track. We've had some great racing there over the last few years. So it's really, really good to see. Good to see McLaren back in the up there battling for some real points. And Ferrari right back to being, you know, the reason I hate Sunday morning sometimes, but that's okay. Football will be back soon to distract me so that I get disappointed twice on Sundays, which is always fun. But yeah, so I think that's it. We'll hear from us in about a week and a half for the preview episode for Hungary. And then I think I'll be on with Andy, and I think Cody will be back stateside for the Hungaroring race review. So come back out and check us out then. Andy, I'll hand it off to you to send us away for the evening.
Yeah, as always, folks, may all your laps be fast.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Outlap F1 Podcast. If you like what you heard, click that subscribe button and be sure to leave us a 5-star review. If you want to connect with us outside of the show, check out our website at www.outlapf1.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at Outlap F1 Podcast. Or email us at chatnow@outlapf1.com. As always, thank you so much for your support, and we'll see you on the next one.